This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about remote work. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Millions of people around the world work fully remotely as a choice that allows them to go and live wherever they want to be. Their presence is not only changing the nature of work, it has a big impact on popular destination cities. Take Mexico City, for example. Since the start of the pandemic, thousands of residency permits have been issued to Americans who work from Mexico. The capital city is now a hotspot for expat employees and freelancers who cross borders in search of a more meaningful work-life balance. Alan Hinnich reports from Mexico City.
Today, I'm in La Condesa, one of the most popular neighborhoods in Mexico City. It's a beautiful area where tree-lined streets lead to bustling parks. There are street vendors, music performers, and you wouldn't go without seeing some of the most mouth-watering taco stands swarm with regulars and tourists alike. I'm here to visit Allison Bishens in her apartment. She moved here with her husband and two daughters 2 years ago from Tacoma, Washington. The decision was a kind of experiment, a chance to step back from the stressors of COVID lockdowns and reevaluate the status of work in their lives.
Is there a better way to have a family life? Is there a better way to have a work-life balance? Is there a better way to allow yourself at 35 or 40 years old to like recalibrate what it is that you enjoy or what you'd like to do for your job?
But making this leap was a big change for the Bishens family, and it came with a lot of hard choices.
In the end, I think we probably sold about 95% of our belongings. The rest of it is in a little tiny storage pod somewhere outside of Seattle. We sold our house.
Allison is a business consultant. Her husband, Spencer, is a lawyer. Since coming here, they've been able to work fewer hours on a more flexible calendar. This has left Allison with the time to develop her skills as a portrait photographer, teach students online, write a novel, and tour the city with her daughters, Sasha and Maya, who they homeschool from their apartment.
So what was it like when you guys first got here? Did you guys already speak a little Spanish, or did you
have to learn? We spoke the tiniest bit ever, but no.
We found this Spanish learning program called Duolingo, and we started learning Spanish very slowly.
I spoke to another American in Mexico City who's been working remotely for a consulting firm. He's been here for 10 months after drifting around from country to country for a while.
I was young and I was like excited and I was like, ooh, this is great. But now I'm like, a beach is a beach is a beach. You go anywhere and it's a beach. It's water and it's trees and it's rocks and it's sand. And it's like, okay, cool. But like, you know, who am I around and who am I with? And do I enjoy the space that I'm in? Like, because that's really what's important.
He didn't want me to use his name.
Work is kind of like jail. It's been like jail. I don't know why we all like clock into these 9-to-5 offices and stuff. And, you know, subscribe to that. We work to live. There needs to be a balance. And I think Nomad really gives that opportunity to have you be able to reflect, have you be able to wander and gaze and engage in people, engage in new areas, engage in new cultures, new food. You know, take that space to actually live in the world and not just live in this cycle of going to work and going home.
Living in Mexico City isn't without challenges, though. The consultant told me that as a minority, he's experienced racism here. There are language barriers, and both he and Allison say that the wave of migration has led to gentrification and some resentment against foreigners.
I sort of thought, we're good travelers, like we can plop down anywhere and kind of feel settled. And that was not true. I think some people are happy that we've brought, you know, money here, but like not happy that we're here, right? And that's okay. They're allowed to feel that way.
I talked to some Mexico City locals about the influx of remote workers and the changes that it's brought to this part of the city. My uncle Jaime Aronowitz grew up in Condesa in the 1970s, and he remembers a very different place.
Condesa was the neighborhood in the sense of very modest and very residential, very quiet neighborhood, very, very quiet. I used to play soccer in the streets, sometimes in the sidewalk.
He says it was mostly residential when he was a kid. Everyone knew everyone. It was walkable and full of parks.
It wasn't an expensive place. So the opposite, the restaurants were the cheapest in the Condesa.
Today, it's a lot more expensive. It's full of restaurants, bars, nightclubs, and it has an international flair.
And when you walk in the street, you hear different languages, which was super strange in my time, and we never heard English or even French. Now it happens every day. There is more desire to get a place. There are more bidding wars to buy a place, and of course that raises up the prices.
Inflation and gentrification seem to be on everyone's mind.
I bought a pack of gum here for 24 pesos. Imagine, in my neighborhood, it costs around 12 or 16 pesos, or less.
This area gets a lot of foreigners. They can get by a lot easier because of the currency exchange. Mexico City is becoming a lot more gentrified, so everything is inflated. It just keeps going up. The rent, the food, entertainment.
Allison Bishens feels conflicted about the changes that foreigners like herself have brought to Mexico City, but she's grateful for the fresh perspective moving here has given her, especially a new outlook on work. She grew up in a religious cult where even kids were always required to work.
I was like 11, like with a demo hammer and like a hard hat, like demoing places for like $4 an hour. You were expected to just like work yourself to the bone all the time with literally no self-care.
Allison hasn't stopped since then. She worked all throughout college, in grad school, while traveling abroad. When she was employed at a policy nonprofit in Washington, D.C., she says it was normal for her to put in up to 70 hours in a week.
You are expected to just sort of ignore whatever's going on in your body or your family or your community or anything and just work, work, work. And there were times that I was like at the office till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because I had to turn a report in or publish something.
I asked Allison if she had ever had any moments before moving to Mexico City where she felt liberated from her workload and the expectations of her family. She spoke of a trip she took to Eastern Europe right before grad school.
I was in Bosnia, I was in Sarajevo, and I was just like, I'm gonna stay here for 6 weeks. I got a job, I got a boyfriend. I remember it feeling like the first time in my entire life that I was not beholden to anyone.
Do you feel like there are elements of that freedom that you got when you moved to Mexico?
Yeah, I actually often feel it when I'm walking around. I'm tearing up a little bit. I think that when you're walking around by yourself, especially, like you're not beholden to anybody. You don't have to do what other people want you to do. You just get to walk and you just get to appreciate. I try and really taste the coffee and feel it on my tongue and observe the people that are there and watch the birds in the trees and like the little lizards like climbing up the trees next to me. And I have a lot more time for that now. You know, there was this enormous influx of people from the US and Canada and even Europe into Mexico City during the pandemic. And I think a lot of people were having those same feelings that we were feeling of like, is this life that I've created for myself what I would create if I got the chance to start over? And so to some extent, what coming to Mexico City has allowed us to do is start over with like who we are. Like, who am I as a person? What is my personality? Because the people that I felt like I had to perform for, they're not here anymore. So now who do I want to be?
That story was reported by Alan Hinnage.